Well, I want to invite you this morning to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And as you're turning there, share with you what we're going to talk about this morning. We're only going to use verses 1 through 8 today. I seriously doubt we get through the entire message this morning, but we're going to give it our best effort. Title of this message is Pray and Wait, and when the door is open, walk through it. Now, we have that last part down pat. The door of opportunity opens for us, and we're gung-ho to go right on through it. It's the praying and waiting that we have trouble with. Nehemiah here, we'll see in just a few moments as we read through this book, this passage of Scripture. That's exactly what he did. He prayed, and then he waited. If you're there in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1, say amen. Amen. Now the Word of God reads, "And it came about that in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, 'Why is your face so sad, though you are not sick?' 'This is nothing but sadness of heart,' the king said. Then I was very afraid. I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies desolate and the gates have been consumed by fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, 'If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.' Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, 'How long will your journey be? And when will you return?' So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. And I said to the king, 'If it please the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the provinces beyond the river, that they may also allow me to pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to the letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress which is by the temple, for the wall of the city, and for the house to which I will go.' And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me." And Father, I pray in this moment now that we spend in looking at your word, that God, you would just give us a clear insight, Father, to what your word says now. God, as Nehemiah spent so much time, Father, as we'll see in just a moment, God, praying. And Lord, then when that door was opened, Lord God, he walked through it with all boldness, not within his own strength, but God, within yours. Lord, may we have that strength today through your hand. For it's in the precious and holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. Danny Aiken, who is the president of Southeastern Baptist Seminary, once said this, and I heard him say this personally. He said these words, talking and concerning about preaching today. He says these, and I quote, "It has never been more important what you say, but it has never been more important how you say it." You think about that for just a moment. What in the world is this man trying to say? But he's dead on. He's saying these words right here. It's very important what we say, speaking of the Word of God. It's very important that we say that as ministers. And there's a lot of ministers in here today. It's very important how we or what we say. But even in the day and age in which you and I live in now, it's more important as well how we say it. We sit back today and it should be that we know exactly what we're talking about when it comes to the Word of God. We shouldn't handle this lightly when it comes to preaching or teaching this word. We better know exactly what we're talking about. Because if we don't, if we make light of that subject as a pastor, as a preacher, as a teacher, then we're not in trouble with the people that sit before us, but we're definitely in trouble with the God of heaven today. But I want to share this with you here today because as relevant as that is today to you and I of what we say and how we say it, it was also important in the day of Nehemiah. For you see, in the day in which Nehemiah lived, you know this, you've been here for the last couple of Sundays, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king. He is the man who literally walked into the king's court with a glass of wine and possibly the food. It was up to that man, Nehemiah. It was up to him, not the king, but the cupbearer take the first swallow or the first bite of food. The reason being is to see if somebody's poisoning him so that the cupbearer would die rather than the king. Boy, what a job to have. But in all seriousness, in that day and age, it's a very prominent position. One that was highly desired. One that was highly sought after. I don't know if I'd have been in line to get the job. I think I would have been in the kitchen preparing, maybe. But Nehemiah held that position. And listen to this. Whenever you would come into the presence of the king, when you would walk into his court, you better not have a sad face on. You better be all smiles. Because I can guarantee you this, whenever you stand before the king as a cupbearer, he had seen in that day's business, he'd seen enough sadness. He had seen enough downtroddenness. He flat sure didn't want to see it from the people who are serving him. Did you realize this, that the penalty for being caught in the king's presence, if he said so, if he determined this, the penalty for that was death. Well, that puts the job in a whole new perspective, doesn't it? If you walk in the king's court with a sad face, if you say the wrong thing, he has you killed in that moment. My gracious. The Bible tells us clearly here in chapter 2, verse 2, that Nehemiah was afraid. I know he was. He was so afraid because his face was so sad. And the king asked him, says, "Hey boy, what's wrong with you? You've never acted like this before. You've never done this before. Why are you so sad?" And in that moment, I believe with all my heart in studying this passage of Scripture, in that moment was the divine appointment of God to allow Nehemiah to do exactly what needed to be done. I'm here to tell you today, let me say this before we begin here. Guys, listen to me. If God is speaking to your heart this morning, for goodness sakes, do not turn it away. If you this morning are sitting in this place, and even in this moment right here, just talking about this, you feel the very presence of God working in your heart and mind, for goodness sakes, don't turn a deaf ear to that and shut the door. For goodness sakes, walk through it this morning. Don't deny God and His Spirit today. Follow it. The Bible tells us here that Nehemiah took the opportunity in that moment to verbalize a goal. However, there were steps that he took in verbalizing this goal. You got to keep in mind, he is in the king's presence. He can live or die on what he says in this moment. So he has to be very careful. Now follow me with this morning as we look at the verbalization of this goal, the prayer, what it took, the waiting. The first thing is this, is that Nehemiah verbalized it in a proper time. He verbalized this prayer in proper time. Look at verses 2 and 3 with me again. "So the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart.'" Can you imagine right then what was running through Nehemiah's mind? What was running through his heart? "Why are you so sad?" Knowing the whole time this man could speak the words and my head would be rolling on the floor. Then the Bible goes on and tells us there in verse 2 that he was so afraid. I guess he was. Oh my gracious. But notice this in verse 3. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever." Why should my face be so sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire? You realize how long this man had been praying? The Bible tells us in chapter 1, verse 1, that he had been praying from the month of Chesleve. That's about November and December on our calendars. All right. Odds are the king was at his winter palace. He was there because of the weather. It was very nice. It was about November, December whenever he began to pray Nehemiah. When he heard the bad news that his brother Hananiah brought to him, he began to pray in that month. Now, the Bible tells us this here in chapter 2. It tells us this, that this episode begins in the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is about March or April on our calendar. So, approximately 4 months, Nehemiah has been praying. Can I stop right here and interject this? Let's call it real this morning. You and I, let me preach to myself for just a second. I pray one time and think in that moment, God ought to answer. Anybody else like that? Amen. I'm like that. Hey, man, I'm here to tell you, and listen to me. And sometimes in my Christian life, God has actually done that. Whenever I've prayed and it's almost instantaneous that prayer was answered. But listen to this. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. If you remember last week, he prayed day in and day out. The Bible says that he was fasting, he was praying, and he was confessing his sin and the sin of the nation in which he was part of. When's the last time we've prayed that long? When is the last time that we have prayed that long over something? Listen to me this morning. Timing is everything in God's eyes because it is His timing, not ours. It's not about us when it comes to prayer. It's not about your schedule and my schedule. It's not about your agenda and my agenda. It's about God's will this morning. Period. I'll be honest with you, I'd like God to answer my prayers. You know, as soon as I just send them up, the answer's right there. Wouldn't you? Oh, come on now. You know exactly you would. You would want it answered instantaneous, just like that. Sure we do. But you know what? God's will. I've learned this in my years as a believer. My timetable and God's timetable just don't line up. It don't. Oh, my gracious, begin to pray over something. And you know how it goes. Let's be honest with ourselves this morning. We begin to pray over something. And we're on our knees. We're praying to God. God, do something about this. And that might last a short time. Then, for whatever reason, just slips away. Timing is everything. I believe with all my heart this is your pastor's thought process. Take it for whatever it's worth. You can file it or throw it in the trash on the way out. I believe that if Nehemiah had not been in a state of mind, a prayerful state of mind, I don't believe he would ever recognize this moment when it come by. I don't believe he would recognize the very timing of God, because I believe with all my heart, listen to me, that it was God's hand orchestrating what was happening in this man's life for the king to look at him and say, why are you so sad? First of all, and not cut his head off, having killed. And secondly, for him to ask Nehemiah, you'll notice this on down in there, to ask Nehemiah, hey, by the way, what do you need to take care of this problem? Hello? Hey. Nehemiah prayed. Timing is everything. It is everything. And listen to me this morning. Your prayer life and my prayer life. See, when it comes to the goal Nehemiah had, he verbalized that goal in the proper time. He verbalized it in God's time. not his. I'm sure I'd be willing to say that Nehemiah, when his brother was standing before him telling us, hey, by the way, the city is in ruins, the gates are on fire, people are running in chaos. I would be willing to say that at that moment, that day, Nehemiah would have said, hey, I'm ready to go now. But 4 months later, God sent the opportunity for him. But see, that's not all that he did when it comes to this particular verbalization of this goal. The second thing is this. Not only did he verbalize it in a proper time, he verbalized it with a prayerful spirit. Listen, there is the difference in praying and praying with a prayerful spirit. And what do you mean by that, preacher boy? All right, follow me for this. Just a moment. Look at verse 4. The Bible tells us here, it says, then the king said to me, what would you request? Or what do you want? What do you need? The king asked. Notice what Nehemiah did. So I prayed to the God of heaven. I guarantee you, when he was standing before the king in that moment right then, that it run through his mind. He's fixing to kill me. He's going to kill me. I love this. I love this. It's what I like to refer to as the Moses prayer. You know, the Moses prayer, you know, whenever he was standing before Pharaoh and he threw the staff down, it turned to a snake, and the Egyptian magicians did the same thing, same identical thing. I'd be willing to say right then, Moses just went and shot a prayer up, said, oh God. Nehemiah's in that same situation right here. Whenever the Bible says that right in that moment that he prayed to the God in heaven, I am be willing to say that Nehemiah ran through his mind, I'm about to die. God help me. You ever shot up one of those prayers? Amen, I have. I guarantee you I have. Amen. Hey, God, I need some help. In that moment, he prayed. Listen. He'd been praying for how many months? 4 months. A lot of us done quit. A weekend, that's enough. God ain't going to answer this prayer. I just quit. 4 months this man prays, and whenever the king asks him what does he need, what is the first thing he does? He doesn't pull out the list, say, okay, well, this is what I need right here, man. No, the Bible says he prayed to God in heaven. He prayed. Wait a minute. What do you request? Oh, hold on. Let me pray about it and I'll let you know. Again, if this man had not been in prayer for 4 months, I believe that this time would have just slipped right by him and he'd have never recognized it. Can I stop and interject this right here for just a second, if I may? Have you missed God's plan in your life? Simply because you have been out of communication with Him maybe weeks, months, years now. And you have totally missed it. You have not been in communication with God and God's plan just passing you right on by. Whew. Just passing you right on by. I mean, it's running past you and you can't even recognize it. Why? Because you haven't been in communion with God Almighty. The Bible tells us right here that whenever he began to, when he was asked this question, Nehemiah, the first thing he did was pray to God in heaven. I don't know what he prayed. I don't know what the exact prayer was, but I'm sure that it was something maybe along these lines here. God, in this moment, Lord, I know I can physically die right now, but God, in this moment, fill my mouth with your words to speak what I need to speak in this moment. That man was in a prayerful state of mind right then. Ephesians chapter 6, and I believe it's about verse 18. You may want to write this down. You don't have to turn there. It tells us, Paul tells the church at Ephesus that whenever they pray, pray in the Spirit. Now, what in the world does that mean? What in the world does that mean? Follow me on this. Here you go. Simple definition. Here it is. It means today that you allow the very Spirit of God that dwells inside of you to make requests on your behalf rather than you. You ever been to that point in your life you just didn't know what in the world to pray for? You ever been to that point in your life where you didn't know what in the world? I mean, the situation you were facing, the situation you were in, it was just overwhelming. You didn't know which way to turn, which way to go. You didn't know anything like that. You didn't know anything. And just in your moment of time of prayer, you just dropped to your knees and you allowed God, just His Spirit, to overcome you and to begin to pray, as Paul says, in the Spirit. So I guarantee you this today, listen to me. I guarantee you this today, God knows what we need. God knows exactly what we need, just like Nehemiah here. Nehemiah, when he come before the king, and the Bible tells us right here that he began to pray, he verbalized his goal in a prayerful spirit before the king. But see, there's other things as well. Not only did he do it in a proper timing, not only did he do it in a prayerful spirit, but thirdly, he verbalized it in a powerful statement. Talking about arrogance. Lord, help us if we go before God with in our time of prayer, making demands. God, help us. We ought never do that. But notice here in verse 5 of Nehemiah. Notice this. He does this in a powerful statement in verse 5. I said to the king, if it pleased the king, and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my fathers, that I may rebuild it. Hey, did you hear what he said? Did you catch what he said? He didn't say, send me back to Judah so that I can go over there and rebuild my daddy's house. Okay. The Bible says, and this is what I mean by it being a powerful statement. The Bible says that Nehemiah looked in the face of the king and said, send me back to the place of my father's tombs that I may rebuild the entire city. Hey, you've heard this preacher say this before. When it's in your prayer life and you pray, listen to me. When you have a dream, get a big one, because we serve a big God today. I'm here to tell you, Nehemiah looked in the face of the king and he said, oh, by the way, I need all the things I can take. I'm going back to rebuild not my daddy's house, but the whole city. Hey, he could already be dead. Just for looking sad, hey man, go for it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's already out on a limb now. Why not go for it? You know why? Listen to me. Any other person that was not in that spirit of prayerfulness, that was not led by the very Spirit of God themselves, would have never said anything like that. They'd be cowering in the corner somewhere. Listen, this isn't just a man doing this. This is the very hand of God directing him. But notice this. When it come to this powerful statement, oh, by the way, I want to rebuild a whole city. We read on in there, he's going to rebuild the gates. He's going to stop by the cedars of Lebanon. We'll see that later, probably tonight. He's going to stop by there, give a letter to Asaph. And by the way, I just need half this forest, man. Cut it down, hew it into timbers, and send it down to Jerusalem for me. Like I said. But notice this. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear what I'm about to say. There is two things in this verse that this man says that puts it all in perspective. Every one of us in this room, just listen to this. Every one of us in this room, you ought to have a life goal. You ought to have a Christian life goal. You ought to set something in your life and rely on God to lead you in that. Nehemiah's in that place right here. There's absolutely no way, listen to me, no way that one man could do this by himself, what he's praying about right here. Ain't no way. He's already out on a limb right here, but notice what he says. There's two things he says in verse 5. Number one, he says this. He says, if it please the king. If it pleases the king. When is the last time in your prayer life you have prayed this? God, if it pleases you. Stop and think about that for a second. In our prayer life, 9 times out of 10, who are we trying to please? It ain't God, is it? It's about what you want and what I want. What you need and what I need. It's never about what God desires for your life today. We never sit down and just pray, God, do whatever you want today. God, if it pleases you, do it. When's the last time you prayed something like that? God, if it pleases you, I'll do it. And there's another thing in here that Nehemiah says to the king. First of all, he says, if it pleases the king, second thing he does is this. And the king didn't need to be reminded of this. He was well aware of this. But secondly is this, is Nehemiah says that he is the king's servant. Nehemiah had a prestigious job in the eyes of a lot of people. He would go to the kitchen. He would get the food tray of the king, the glass of wine, and he would come back out into the courtroom of the king. He would stand there before the king, possibly take a bite of the food on the tray, swallow of wine, and then everybody in the room stood there to watch if he was going to die or not. Wow. Very prestigious job. Everybody wanted it. Everybody. I know that sounds unusual, but theologians and scholars over the years said this is a very prestigious job. Everybody wanted it. And the reason that they wanted it is because the cupbearer was with the king all the time. In him being with the king, he had the very ear of the king. Meaning this, he could talk to the king about things going in there. And I guarantee you this, the king, in times of quietness and stillness, talked to that cupbearer about the things going on in the kingdom. With all of that, Nehemiah was still just a lowly servant. For whatever reason, over the years, and in the life of a lot of believers, we have forgotten, hear this, that we are nothing more than a servant today. In fact, it has become to this point that for a lot of believers today, they honestly believe that God is there to serve them rather than them to serve God. How did it get that way? You think about this. Look at your prayer life. You don't believe me? Do this. Go back to your prayer life. Take out a pen and piece of paper. And whenever you begin to pray and pray to God, write down how many times you ask Him for something rather than saying and asking Him to give you something to do. When's the last time we prayed that? Nehemiah, right here. Wanted to please the king. And he, secondly, according to this verse right here, reminded himself that I am a servant. Pray, wait, and when the door opens, walk through it. And Father God, I pray this morning now for every person in this room, God, myself included. Oh, Father God, may we have a prayer life like Nehemiah. God, may we remember that, Father, our life ought to be about pleasing You, not man. It's real easy to get caught up in that. May we remember this morning that we are just lowly servants. But God, that is a powerful statement, because we are servants to the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords this morning. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, friend, there is absolutely no way that you can do those two things with sin in your life. Oh, you may try as hard as you can. Oh, but there's always going to be a distraction. There's always going to be something to tear you down, pull you back. I want to encourage you this morning to do this right now. You can come on right now. Listen, you don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to a minister up here. You don't have to do that. You can come right here to this altar right now and begin to pray to God. God, just touch me. Let God know what's on your heart, on your mind. Let God know about the sin in your life. Yes, He already knows that. But the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we are faithful to confess our sins, then He is faithful to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's up to us. Won't you come this morning? Don't sit back and say, oh, I'm going to wait till I get everything straightened out, and then I'm going to get everything. Then I'll do it. Well, friends, if you're waiting on that, you're never going to get everything straightened out in your own strength. It'll never happen. Oh, Father God, I pray for that person right now sitting in this room with us. I don't know who it is. But God, Your Spirit spoke to their heart this morning. I pray now, God, You give them the strength to make the decision at hand that they need to make. Not to me, but to You. Father, may we see this fruit come forth for Your glory and Yours alone. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Allen.